hands of the whitecoats of Operation Krunos. Besides, he came back sharp and fast if there was trouble. Doc was a valuable asset to the group, not a liability. Tentatively, Dean blew on the harmonica, and a smooth, pure flow of notes issued.
That's pretty good.
A tiny flash of jealousy came and went. Ryan's musical abilities were limited to bad singing.
This plays the music I like.
JB patted the Uzi lying next to him.
Glad you have it along. This has been an odd trip.
Steven chewed on a stick as he watched the pinkish meat cook. The excess fat dripped off the carcass into the fire, causing the flames to spurt, the greasy smoke disappearing toward the stars above.
What do you mean?
Mildred was rewrapping her foot. Staying off her ankle for a whole day was making it feel much better, and the swelling was noticeably reduced.
Lots of muties, but no cold hearts.
Think I know the answer to that.
Ryan poured a can of gas into the fuel tank of the second van.
There are no cold hearts attacking because we don't have Philippe and his crew with us.
JB grinned.
Working both sides, eh? I wouldn't be surprised to find these hills packed with their friends. But without the signal to attack, they might be spoiling a choice plan, so they have to wait. Might even let us leave unmolested.
You think?
Maybe. But we'll stay on Triple Red until we reach the Ville. Only a couple more days.
Stephen went pale and looked around fearfully.
Unless the Red winds chilled them.
No hot spots around here to create those winds.
Nevertheless, Ryan lowered the container and checked the rad counter on his collar.
Nominal. We're safe.
He screwed the cap back on the gas can. Askance, Stephen stared at the device.
Is that really a rad counter?
Ryan placed the can in the back of the Ford truck.
Yeah?
The fat man licked his lips eagerly.
I could really use one of those. What would you take for it?
Not for sale.
Ryan walked into the firelight.
Everything's for sale.
Stephen stopped talking as Ryan gave him a look that informed the man just how wrong he was.
Hey, I'm just asking. And remember, I'm your boss for this trip.
You're the caravan leader.
JB squirted a few drops of oil into his submachine gun and worked the bolt.
Not our boss.
Big diff.
Jack drew a knife and started to whittle on a piece of wood from the pile. A loud crack came from the dark forest, and everybody drew their weapons with blinding speed.
Rifle shot.
Mildred rose awkwardly on her crutch. Whittling a new spoon out of the plank, Jack sighed.
Tree branch.
Relaxing his stance, JB lowered the Uzi.
Probably another possum.
That sounded human.
Nah, cougar.
Jack kept steadily whittling. The spoon was already taking shape under his expert skills. Reluctantly, Christie accepted the statement. The Cajun hunter was seldom wrong in such matters. Testing the meat with a knife point, she sliced into the carcass and found it nicely gray inside.
Soup's on. Grab a plate or go hungry.
Everybody froze where they were, plates and cups poised in midair.
That was human.
Mildred placed her empty plate on the ground and drew her ZKR target pistol.
Where are the hunters? Clem and Bob.
Gone as guards to cover the Johnson family while they wash dirty diapers at the creek. They don't want to stink up the campsite.
A woman's scream cut the night, closely followed by the boom of a black powder weapon.
That was a musket.
JB stood and snapped the bolt on his submachine gun.
We got trouble.
Sounded close, a couple hundred yards to the west.
Ryan worked the bolt on his stire.
Mildred, damp down the fire. Jack, Doc, stay here with her. Everybody else, 10 yards spread. And watch your shots. We got friendlies out there. Go!
As Ryan moved past the trucks, the darkness reclaimed the night. The companions started to head for the distant creek when a commotion in the weeds could be heard coming their way. Without comment, they moved into a tight cluster, with every weapon out and ready, the oiled barrels sweeping the night for targets. A voice cried out from the blackness.
There it is! Kill it!
Don't shoot!
A dark mass rose from the weeds, and out charged a mutie carrying a bundle of rags. It was humanoid, two arms, two legs, one head, but there the resemblance stopped. A thick black mane of hair crested its lumpy head and trailed down the back, separating into different lines that ended at its ankles. Its muscular shoulders rose to meet the lumpy head, as if the being possessed no neck. The skin was grayish with bits of dried mud, or perhaps scabs flaking off. The square eyes were yellow, as if it had jaundice, and a filthy loincloth swaddled its waist, with a crude stone dagger jutting from a sheath made from human skin, bearing a crude tattoo.
Swampy!
Ryan tilted the barrel of his long blaster to fire from the hip, but then the bunch of rags it held started to cry.
The baby!
Mildred dropped her crutch. The physician went into a marksman stance, both hands wrapped around her deadly little Czech ZKR blaster. But as she trained on the mutie's head, it lurched into the bushes again, going to all fours and galloping away with remarkable speed.
Dark Knight, after the bastard!
The companions chased after the darting mutie, nearly colliding with the hunter and the parents who had been beating the bushes trying to drive it into the camp. There was a furtive movement in the farmhouse, and Dean leaped at the mutie as it rushed through the ruins. The boy cried out in victory as he got a handful of the coarse black hair, but then the creature literally ripped itself free from his grasp and charged due east, straight for the stream. Dropping his rifle, Ryan was already running in that direction, trying to cut it off. His lungs were laboring to draw in more air, but the warrior willed himself to go faster. Once in the water, the swampy and its tiny prisoner would be gone forever. Man and mutie collided at the top of a low rise, Ryan driving the beast into an oak tree near the edge of the bluff. Snarling, the creature swung a webbed hand at Ryan. He ducked, and the fist slammed into the tree, bark exploding off the trunk from the powerful impact. In the background, Ryan heard the splashing stream and knew he was almost out of time. A single jump and the swampy would escape with its living meal. Risking everything, Ryan dived wildly at the creature and managed to grab a hairy leg. Panting like a dog, the swampy kicked at him with a clawed foot, and that gave the one-eyed man an idea. As hard as he could, Ryan drove a rock-hard fist directly upward between its legs. Mutie or Norm, if the creature was a male, that should stop anything for a few seconds. The mutie gasped in pain and staggered backward a step. Ruthlessly, Ryan slammed it again in the same place, then drew his blaster and fired at its knee. The silenced weapon coughed gently, and blood erupted from the wound as the 9mm round plowed through flesh and bone. Screaming in agony, the swampy dropped to the ground and started crawling toward the stream. Ryan fired again, the flash from the muzzle showing its precious bundle was still tightly held in inhuman arms. The others were with him, firing their own weapons at the crawling beast. The power of Doc's Lamotte was so great that a single blast removed the head, the muzzle flash illuminating the bluff for yards in every direction. The decapitated body shuddered and convulsively released its grip on the screaming baby. As the companions watched in horror, the infant rolled straight over the edge of the bluff, and they heard a tiny splash.
Fire blast!
Ryan charged forward. Heedless of the sharp rocks and briar patches blocking their way, nearly everybody scrambled hastily down the steep incline, grunting and gasping as flesh was torn every foot of the way. Only Christy stayed behind. Dropping her heavy bearskin coat, Christy raised her hands and launched herself off the bluff, diving straight into the stream. She disappeared beneath the icy water. Clothes and skin ripping from the thorns, Ryan and JB skidded down the muddy banks, dropping their blasters and wading chest deep into the freezing waters.
Christy!
The icy temperatures knifed into Ryan's body. He took a breath and ducked underwater, but quickly stood again, his body shaking with the cold.
No good. Can't see a thing.
JB shouted uphill through cupped hands.
Make torches! And get moving!
Suddenly, lights washed over the bluff, and a horn sounded.
Anybody hurt?
In a geyser of water, Christy surfaced from the middle of the stream, with the child in her arms. Fighting shivers, Ryan and JB helped her to the shore, and she laid the infant on the rocky ground, brushing away the tangles of blonde hair off its face.
Mother Gaia, no!
The small form was completely still, the lips a deathly pale blue.
Millie, we need you now!
Gathering the child in his arms, Ryan braced himself and charged up the incline, ignoring the thorns that seemed to be everywhere. Seconds later, the man reached the top, and pushing past the weeping mother, he thrust the little body at Mildred.
Not breathing. In water.
Placing the child in the beach,